stand? Where's the stand?
What do you mean stand?
Stander for this, so you don't have to...
Oh, yeah?
In there.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. I just want to welcome everyone to Ortura, to thank the YU Tournament CN Cole so much for giving us this wonderful opportunity to host Mark Verabi, Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig, who is no stranger to our community, who visited us as Gaon residents just a little more than a year ago, Parshat Kitisa. I was so honored to bring him back and to have him here again in the building. We're sorry Rabbi Brand couldn't be here to join us, but we continue to celebrate our ongoing partnership with the YU Tournament CN Kollel, and I'd like to call upon Rabbi Aaron Kraft, Rosh Chabura, to please introduce Rosenzweig this morning for the program.
Good morning. Welcome to the Michael Best Alav HaShalom Memorial Pre-Pesach Lecture. On behalf of the YU Tournament CN Kollel, we'd like to thank the Best family, to Eddie and to Jane, and to Yeshiva University for sponsoring this morning's shiur, which will also draw upon the Torah of Rav Soloveitchik in honor and in commemoration of his 25th year at site. Of course, we also thank Ortura for hosting us every Sunday morning and for being a special partner for the Kollel. So this morning we have a special opportunity to hear from Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig, Rosh Yeshiva and Rosh Kol at the Rabbi Isaac Elchanan Theological Seminary. After studying under Rav Lichtenstein in Yeshivat Har Etzion and then with Rav Soloveitchik in Yeshiva University, Rabbi Rosenzweig received smicha in Yeshiva University and was also a distinguished member of the Grus Kollel Elyon at Ritz. Rabbi Rosenzweig also holds a doctorate in medieval Jewish history, where he studied at the Ritz, at the Yeshiva University Bernard Revel Graduate School in Jewish Studies under Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik. And he is the Nathan and Perel Shumpf Chair of Talmud at Ritz and also the Rosh Kollel of the Baron Kollel Elyon. On a personal note, I feel very privileged to be able to introduce and to welcome Rav Rosenzweig. I feel a lot of gratitude and privilege to have learned in Rav Rosenzweig's shir for 6 years, and I am also grateful for the countless hours of guidance and mentoring that he's provided for me personally and for all of his Talmidim, and it is a great privilege to welcome him. Without further ado, Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig.
Thank you very much for so kind introduction. Very much appreciated. It's always really special to be in this kehila, Mar Basra, the very special Talmud, and the Sgan Rosh Kollel, is that the right? Whatever, the Rosh Beis Medrash, and the Rosh Kollel, actually, Talmidim. And it's really always, a source of great... Something is talking here. Oh, maybe it's... Is it feeding back at me? Is that good? Is that it? I don't know. Anyways, it's always a source of great joy, really, to be other Talmidim, or now that I guess the Rosh Kollel of Maryland. It's really always a pleasure to be here and to be among Talmidim and to be in the Makom Torah. This morning, we don't have that much time, and we have a big task, and that is to do two things at the same time that Baruch Hashem kind of, dovetail and they come together. On Chol HaMoed Pesach will be the 25th yahrzeit of Moreinu V'Rabbeinu HaGaon, Rabbi Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, Zatzal. I was privileged to learn in the Rav Shir for 6 years. But the truth is, like many others from my tkufa, from my period, my relationship with the Rav Zatzal really began before I was born. That sounds peculiar, but I'll explain. And it really continues and will continue, Mir Tashem, for many generations to come. Because he was the kind of personality, I'll speak more about this, who was transformative. The impact that he had on everyone who was his Talmud and on the community at large that he had exerted such impact on the entire Jewish world. He's one of those classical Chachmei HaMesorah, a term that he particularly liked, who, by definition, contributed to the timeless chain of the Masorah, and therefore he really impacted on all of Klal Yisrael. But, you know, concentrically, first through his Talmidim. And my father, Shlita, was a very loyal Talmid of the Rav, and I related this very recently in another context. You know, from the youngest time that I can remember, the idea of rabbinic authority was associated with Rav Soloveitchik. Before I knew what he looked like, before I really understood what the term meant, I knew that my father, who I admired greatly, still admire greatly, whenever he had an issue that required, you know, greater authority, that in itself is a fascinating thing for a child who looks up to his parent to know that there is sometimes greater authority. He would be off to Boston. I see other Talmidim in the crowd. He would be off to Boston to visit with the Rav and to consult with him. And the on the one hand, the sense of love and dedication and devotion and the reticence to waste his time, the sense of Yira, being in the presence of a great man, these are very palpable things. So that before I understood really what high-level learning was and what, as I say, rabbinic authority and wisdom was, I knew that this was the source of it. And then, Baruch Hashem, I myself had the schus to be a Talmid of the Rav, and, you know, it's easy to chart the impact that he has had even since his Patira 25 years ago. The fact that it is 25 years is itself a little bit surreal because his presence is very much a living presence. The idea of a Dmus Diukno Shel Abba, which we're all familiar with in the famous Medrash, but Yosef HaTzadik at a time when he was far from home and his father thought that he had died and he was facing challenges, you know, that were so distant, you know, from anything, you know, that his father could imagine or that he could imagine when he was with his father, you know, at that pivotal critical moment, you know, he his life takes a turn, or doesn't take a turn, because of the image of his father in front of him, Dmus Diukno Shel Abba. And any Talmud of a Rebbe, I think, really knows that that idea of Dmus Diukno, which applies to a biological parent, certainly in terms of the impact that they have, it applies to Rabbeim as well. You look, you might be inaccurate, that's a different question, but at least in one's own self-image, you know, at critical moments when there are difficult choices to make or difficult challenges to confront, you know, what you always ask is, how would my father do it in a parental context? And how would, what would my Rebbe say? You know, what decision would he make? Again, you can be more or less accurate in applying what you think would have been the answer, but the effort itself, that self image of being a Rebbe, of being a Talmud of a Rebbe, is really the concept of Masorah. And I think it's something which you know, the Rav very much used to transmit and convey in a very palpable way about his father and his grandfather and about all of the Chachmei Masorah who impacted upon him. And, you know, each generation according to its abilities, Yiftach Bedoro, Kishmuel Bedoro, all of his Talmidim feel that way as well. And that's why I say, you know, the impact began in my case before I was born, and it definitely well continues after the Rav's Patira, in the kind of impact or influence I try to have on my Talmidim is certainly always informed by my experiences with my great Rabbeim. So it's hard to believe that it's 25 years, and I say not because it's so long, but because there's not a day that goes by that Talmidim of the Rav and others who are influenced by him don't have his living image in front of them and don't weigh and assess what they're doing, whether it's an explanation of a difficult Rambam or, as I say, a you know, a difficult communal policy decision, or just you know, giving advice to someone. That image is something which is a very powerful force. When we speak about, you know, somebody's impact after their patira, in Chazal they speak about sifsosav dovavos bekeber. The person, you know, he continues to talk. There's nothing mystical about it, and nothing macabre about it, certainly. It's exactly this idea, the idea of the continuing influence of a methodology, the continuing inspiration of a person who was a great man, who stood in the presence of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, who carried with him the Mesorah, you know, of his family and of Klal Yisrael, and who imparted it in a magnificent way that, that keeps on producing more and more. And that impact is felt not merely in transmitting, you know, knowledge, you know, as facts, you know, knowledge which is stale, but in terms of the creativity of, you know, renewing that knowledge and moving to new issues and new wrinkles based on the methodology and based on the inspiration of that great man. The Gemara says in Masechet Tmura on Daf Tezayin that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the first of the Chachmei HaMesorah in one respect, because he received the Torah, he had an insider's understanding and knowledge of it. He was Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the first Rebbe, really, of Klal Yisrael, and he remains the first Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. So you can just imagine that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, that Klal Yisrael were thrown into a panic. This would, you know, be a test of continuity. And the truth is, they didn't realize it then, but it would also really ultimately reflect whether Moshe Rabbeinu was successful in his mission. If they were really going to remain paralyzed, then ironically, if he was really going to be completely irreplaceable, then his mission would have failed. But if Moshe Rabbeinu really succeeded, and he had transformed Klal Yisrael and transmitted to them an approach to life, to Torah, then in the end, his legacy would continue, and Sifsosa would be Dovos Bekeber. So the Gemara tells the story that in the beginning, the Klal Yisrael were basically paralyzed, and the Gemara reflects this by telling us that thousands of halachos all of a sudden were lost to Klal Yisrael. And I've spoken about this many times in the past, different aspects of it. Clearly, what's not meant is that all of a sudden Klal Yisrael were struck with amnesia. That doesn't make any sense. What does make sense is that in applying the halacha, and especially understanding its nuances, and then being able to confront new realities based on those principles, you really have to have not just knowledge of the facts, but you have to live and breathe the system. You have to be attuned to it and immersed in it. And Klal Yisrael felt that without Moshe Rabbeinu, they may have remembered the details, but even that became fuzzy. You know, was it for this reason or that reason? Did it apply in this way or that way? How would they move forward? And they became, you know, very panic-stricken. They became almost desperate. They turned to Yahushua. They turned to Shmuel. They said, you know, use your prophetic capacity to speak to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to recover, retrieve for us what we have lost with the loss of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the response that they got from Yahushua, from Shmuel, Lo b'shamayim hi, ein navi rashai l'chadish davar mi'ata, the system that Moshe Rabbeinu gave was a Torah Hashem Tamima. It was a self-sufficient system, a system that was intended, right, to be methodologically sound and to allow them to participate, you know, as junior members, let's say, of that, together with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in this enterprise of the Torah, and to be able, with their own logic and with their own Mesorah, responsibly, of course, to reconstruct and to apply faithfully these rules and these principles. So they refused. They said, you know, we can't invoke, that's not what prophecy is for. Now the Gemara tells very beautifully that there was a figure called Asniel ben Knaz, who's otherwise not so well known, he's mentioned in Tanakh, but he was able, hichsiris kulam mitoch pilpulo, which basically means that he applied the methodology. You know, he was a little calmer or had more faith for that moment and was able to employ, you know, what Moshe Rabbeinu had given Klal Yisrael, and they were able to move forward. And in the end, that really was the ultimate legacy of Klal Yisrael. So the ability of our community to move forward and to produce Talmidei Chachamim and other generations who didn't have the exposure, the access, the special schus that I had to be Talmidim of the Rav, but who are Talmidim of the Talmidim, and the ripple effects that that has for congregants and for Talmidim and so on and so forth, is the ultimate reflection of success, and it's an impact that continues. And it's our responsibility to make sure that it continues accurately, authentically, with all of the responsibility and all of the rigor, all of the Yiras Shamayim, that is part of that. But it's something which, you know, when we reflect back 25 years and it seems like it was yesterday, it seems like it was yesterday because so much connected to this great man continues to define who we are and will continue to define who we are going forward. So the only proper way, really, to honor the memory of a great Talmud Chacham is through Divrei Torah. His Divrei Torah and the Divrei Torah, you know, that flows from his Divrei Torah. And this is particularly true in the case of the Rav Zatzal, whose primary contribution in the world of Machshava is really the fusion of Halacha and Jewish thought. His contribution to Jewish thought, it seems very simple, but, you know, of course, he formulated it as only he could in a magnificent manner. And it's one of those things that seems so obvious, except that no one, you know, really, you know, pursues it until the great classical thinker, you know, identifies it. And that is that the source of Jewish thought, you know, really has to come from the source of Jewish norms and practices. What is binding in being a Jew also has to be the foundation for values. That's really what, in my opinion, the words Nasa and Ishma really signify. Nasa means we accept the details of halakha, we accept the norms, we accept the law. The Nishma, and our understanding of it is based on reconstructing, it's rooted in and radiates out of the halakha itself. My interpretation, perhaps, but inspired by and as just an expression of the Rav's contribution in Ish Halacha. So his greatness in Jewish philosophy and in Jewish thought, really the chiddush, the innovation of it was that it all radiated out from the same source and was an expression of his deep understanding of the halacha. So certainly the only way to properly give respect, you know, to the memory of a person who stood for that is to actually discuss Divrei Torah, also his Torah, and the Torah, I think, that his Torah influences and produces. So we'll move to that part of it after these words of Hakdama. And I picked the topic of Sibur and Schiras Yitzias Mitzrayim and the Mitzvos Halayla, topics which he particularly had great affection for and which Midei Shana B'Shana, the Rav used to speak about even in his regular Shiurim, I took very seriously, didn't do all Shloshim Yom, but Shloshim Yom Lifnei Achag, Sholem V'Dorshim B'Nyanei Achag, Rav took very seriously the idea that preparing for Yom Tov allows us to capitalize on the spiritual opportunities of Yom Tov. He thought that every Yom Tov was a day of Lifnei Hashem, of being in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the way to best capitalize on what's unique about every single Yom Tov is to study the halachos of that Yom Tov deeply, and really thereby kind of internalize those values and then appreciate the experience of it. So let's begin and talk a little bit about the concept of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Mitzvos Halayla. We'll begin with the following. Yetzias Mitzrayim really constitutes an important paradigm of Zachar and Zechira. We just read Parshas HaKodesh yesterday, Shabbos HaKodesh. The first Rashi in Bereishis, as we know, suggests that really the Torah should have begun with HaKodesh HaZeh Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim, Rishon Hu Lachem, L'Chodshei HaShana. Instead of beginning with Bereishis Bara Elokim, Eis HaShamayim, Ve'Eis HaAretz. On the surface, that seems very peculiar. We're not going to discuss the full implications of that. That's a topic in its own right. One would think that you should begin with the beginning. And the Ramban addresses this, and others address it. But what's very important for our purposes is the alternative, the idea that we should have begun the Torah with Parshas HaChodesh. What is it about Parshas HaChodesh that makes it an appropriate beginning of the Torah? And I think that there could be three answers. I'm only going to mention one at the moment. The one is that it's connected to Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, to remembering the exodus of Egypt. The Parsha in Bo, Parshas HaChodesh, the reason that Parshas HaChodesh, that the Chodesh of Nisan is the first of the months, And the paradigm month, and the reason that Chag HaMatzos is the paradigm Yom Tov, Isur Malacha is something that applies to all of the Yom Tovim, as everybody knows. Heter Ochel Nefesh, the permissibility of doing Malacha on Yom Tov, as opposed to Shabbos, connected with the preparation of for food and other such things, really has its source in Parshas Bo, in the Yom Tov of Chag HaMatzos. From there, it's exported to all of the other Chagim. The Mishnah says in Megillah, Ein Bein Shabbos LeYom Tov Ela Ochel Nefesh Bilvad. The first of the Moadim, chronologically, in Parshas HaMoadim in Emor, is Chag HaMatzos. The idea is that Chag HaMatzos is not merely the first, it's the first because it's the paradigm, it's the source of Heter Ochel Nefesh, it's the other pole along with Shabbos of Torah life. There's Rosh Chodesh / the Moadim on one side. Of course, the first one is Shabbos. So the Torah basically is telling us, so the Rashi basically is telling us from this perspective, that the Torah really should have begun with Yetzias Mitzrayim instead of beginning with Bereishis. Instead of beginning with Shabbos, it should have begun with Chag HaMatzos in some respects. This competition between Bereishis and Shabbos on the one hand and Yom Tov and Chag HaMatzos and Rosh Chodesh on the other is a very critical theme in Torah life. In the Aseres HaDibros, as we know, the Ribbono Shel Olam introduces himself at that critical, the first words that we hear, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right? Not Asher Barasi Shamayim Ba'aretz, which the Ibn Ezra and his cousin, Rabbi Yudah Levi, said, you know, maybe that should have been the beginning. That's the question that they ask. But Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzei Sicha, May Eretz Mitzrayim. Even Shabbos, in the end of the day, is connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim, although primarily being Zeich L'Maaseh Bereishis. In the second of the Aseres HaDibros, the one in Vayeschanon, it's connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Gemara says in Masechet Psachim, in Arvei Psachim, that Kiddush, which does of Shabbos, which doesn't mention Zeich L'Yetzias Mitzrayim, is a deficient or an inadequate Kiddush. And then the Rishonim discuss, well, what about in Tefillah, the Rashbam, and others? How do we explain some of the phenomena connected to it? But again, it's the idea that there is Chag HaMatzos, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Shabbos, and we even integrate the two. When the Torah speaks about the Moadim, as I mentioned, the first Moed is Chag HaMatzos, but before it gets to Chag HaMatzos, it starts with Shabbos. There's this reciprocal relationship between Shabbos and Chag HaMatzos. The Ramban in Parshas Bo, the end of Parshas Bo, explains or raises the question, why is Yetzias Mitzrayim connected to everything, anything? Mezuzah, Tefillin, even the other Moadim, Shabbos, it seems like this connection to Yetzias Mitzrayim is excessive. Of course, not excessive, just requires to understand what is it about Yetzias Mitzrayim that is so powerful. And indeed, the Ramban draws the parallel to Shabbos again. Just as on Shabbos, the weekdays revolve around Shabbos, Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Revi, right? Every day of the week doesn't really have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Those aren't, you know, halachic categories. It's really, you know, day one, day two, day three, as if to say the whole week revolves around Shabbos. That's a very critical theme that the Ramban develops. So too, all of the months of the year, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, those are not Jewish names. We use them. But the real categorization is Chodesh HaRishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi. Everything revolves around Yetzias Mitzrayim and around Chag HaMatzos. You have this again, the same parallel. And therefore, it should not surprise us that every single day there is also an obligation of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, actually twice a day. In the morning and evening, there's an obligation of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a daily obligation, even though the event of Yetzias Mitzrayim took place in Nisan, is celebrated by the holiday of Chag HaMatzos. Indeed, the Gemara suggests that this obligation of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day, is min HaTorah. It's an obligation min HaTorah. The Gemara says in Brachos that if you forget to say Emes V'Yatziv, the part of the Kriya Shema that is connected with Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, It's a suffek d'oraisa, it's a doubt in a matter which is a biblical obligation, which is l'hachmir, which means that you have to repeat it, because this is a biblical obligation. So schiras tzias mitzrayim is a critical, critical idea. And the question is, if that is the case, there are two questions, then why is it not counted in minyan mitzvos, number one? Why is it not counted in the Rambam's 613 commandments? Number two, if indeed there's a mitzvah every single day of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, so why, or how does that differ? Oh, thank you. Thank you. How does that differ from the special obligation of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on the night of the Seder? These are both very well-known questions, and I want to speak about them briefly and then illustrate a couple of additional elements of it. The Rav Zatzal, regarding the first question of Minyan HaMitzvos, quoted two answers in the name of his pioneering grandfather, Reb Chai. The first one is well-known in other literature as well, and that is Reb Chaim argued that based on the drashos, which we don't have time to go into right now, but based on the drashos of Ben Zoma and the Chachamim, which we have in the discussion in the Haggadah itself, it would seem that l'halacha, the obligation to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day, is an obligation that does not endure Limos HaMashiach. It only applies, you know, until the Messianic era. Even though we paskin like Shmuel, the Rambam paskins like Shmuel, that ein bein olam azel olam limos hamashiach el shibud malchios bilvad, that really the messianic era will be an era which continues. It's not going to be radically different than our time, but it'll be a time of spiritual focus. There won't be any political distractions or military danger and so on, so that mankind will be able to focus exclusively on important matters, on spiritual matters. Nonetheless, it's possible that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, remembering the Exodus of Mitzrayim, will not be a daily obligation at the time of Mashiach. Maybe that will be eclipsed by the events that bring the Messianic era itself. And the Rambam, in his classic work, Sefer HaMitzvos, where he counts 613 commandments, explains in one of the Shirashim, and one of the principles, that any mitzvah which doesn't apply Liyamos HaMashiach is not counted in the Minyan of 613. So that the reason that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is not counted separately, according to Reb Chaim, is because it's not a mitzvah that will endure Liyamos HaMashiach. But the Rav gave a different answer, also quoting Reb Chaim, which doesn't appear in other literature outside the family. And that is that really, if you look very carefully at the Rambam in Hilchos Kriya Shema, you'll find that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema includes Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you look at the Rambam, this is particularly the Rav's contribution to the discussion, the Rambam says that the three parshios that we say in Kriya Shema, Shema, V'hoyam Shemoa, and Vayomer, all three are biblically mandated. All three need to be said. Moreover, the Rambam rules, based on the Gemara, that even Parshas Vayomer, the Parsha connected to Tzitzis, has to be said early enough, in other words, during the Zman, that you can still read the Kriya Shema. The Rav, building on Reb Chaim's idea, suggested that these are further pieces of evidence that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is integrated into the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So that the reason that the Rambam doesn't count Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim separately in the Minyan Tarayag is because he already counted it. It's a dimension, it's an aspect of Kriya Shema itself. This could be said to be a typical Torah of the Rav, in that it, again, this expansion of Reb Chaim has its roots in Reb Chaim, in that it basically weds together or melds together and therefore adds a dimension of our understanding of both Kriya Shema and of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because on the surface, these are two completely different themes. Kriyas Shema, as we know, is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. It's the commitment of every Jew, right, to live a certain kind of life, to devote himself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to accept the sovereignty of the ultimate king. Even the Parsha of Vayom Shemoa is Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos. It's the commitment to perform the mitzvos, to live a norm-directed life. Zechir Sitzias Mitzrayim, on the other hand, is about remembering a historical event. What do these two things have in common? What does one have to do with the other in either direction? But I think that the idea is, the Ramban in Parshas Bo, when he wants to explain why Yetzias Mitzrayim is so central, and by extension, based on the other things that I mentioned, why it, together with Shabbos, constitutes two complementary but almost equal forces in Jewish life, the Ramban explains that what Sefirat Yetzias Mitzrayim contributes is it basically refashions our understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam, of God, and the capacity of man to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as well as Bechiras Yisrael. What Yetzias Mitzrayim proved was that the Ribbono Shel Olam is not a distant creator, right? But someone who, but a force that is involved in the daily life of man and has a special relationship with the Jewish people. This connection to Hashgachas Hashem, Yediyas Hashem, and Bechiras Yisrael is something which transforms our understanding, me speaking, but I believe this is what the Rav had in mind, of both Kriyas Shema and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. By integrating Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim with Kriyas Shema, we're being told that the special hashgacha that the Ribbono Shel Olam visits upon every member of Klal Yisrael and Klal Yisrael as a unit is not political sovereignty. It's the malchus, right, of an individual God, which is theologically based. By Yetzias Mitzrayim being integrated in Kriyas Shema, in Kabbalah, so Malchus Shemayim, we've expanded in a way that is consistent with what Judaism contributed to the notion of God and religion, the very notion of monotheism. So Sechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and Shabbos, Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis, we're told that if a person is Mechal Shabbos, you know, Bifarhesya, if he's a Mumar L'Chalel HaShabbos, he's a Mumar L'Chalel Kol HaTorah Kula. So Mumar L'Kol HaTorah Kula. Because he's makhish b'maisa b'reishis. If a person knows Shabbos, knows the laws of Shabbos, and disrespects them intentionally, he's essentially denying God's creation. That's one aspect of religious devotion. And the other aspect is not merely to acknowledge the creation, not merely to eschew atheism, and to give credit to the Ribbono Shel Olam in creating the world, but to understand the notion of a personal God, a God that is involved with a specific people and with specific individuals. And that's why in Maimon Har Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha was Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. For the same reason, Briyas Shemayim Ba'aretz as a concept was transformed by the connection to Yetzias Mitzrayim itself, which is why Jews consider the observance of Shabbos to be an exclusively Jewish prerogative, even though the creation itself was, of course, of universal significance. The Yetzias Mitzrayim redefined how we look at Borei Shemayim Va'aretz. So the integration of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, and Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos is a very profound idea, which I think I'm fleshing out, but I think is implicit in this perspective. But there's a second question as well, and that is the relationship between Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. After all, the obligation of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim as part of Kriyas Shema is something that applies every single day. Why then do we have this unique mitzvah of Sipur? The Rav, quoting his grandfather again, suggested that there are certain fundamental differences between, or I shouldn't say fundamental, subtle differences between Zechirat Yetzias Mitzrayim and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you look very carefully in the Rambam's description of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in the beginning of Perek Zayin, Hilchos Chametz HaMatzah, Reb Chaim noted, you'll note that it's not enough when it comes to Sipur telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not enough that we merely mention the Rabbanu Shalom's role in the Exodus. It's important that in addition to mentioning it, which is all that needs to be done every single day, we give historical background, number one. Number two, that we provide details, kol ma she'irav u'ma she'kara, to use the expression of the Rambam, that we also provide tameh mitzvos. We explain the relationship between the mitzvos halayla and the story itself. These are all additional facets that don't typically apply to Tzchiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, but that apply to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rav, however, added at least two other significant elements. If you look here at Perek Zayin, Hilchos Chametz HaMatzah Halacha Aleph, this is on page 1, 1 into 2. Mitzvah Saseh Shol Torah L'Saper B'Nisan B'Niflos Shanasel Avoseinu B'Mitzrayim B'Lel Chamisha Asar B'Nisan. There's an obligation, this is the bottom of number 5, thank you. Positive commandment to tell the story of the Nisim and Nifla'ot, the miracles that took place in Mitzrayim on the 15th of Nisan. Shenemar Zachar es hayom hazeh sheyitzasa mimitzrayim, kemo shenemar Zachar es yom haShabbos. The Rambam says here that the obligation to tell the story of the Exodus is based on the pasuk in Parshas Bo, Zachar Sayom Hazeh, remember this day, Asher Yitzasa Mimitzrayim. And then he adds, Kemo Shenemar Zachar Sayom HaShabbos. Just like it says, you should remember the day of... What does Shabbos have to do with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? A question that many of the Mepharshim ask. Why did the Rambam inject remembering Shabbos, Kiddush? We make Kiddush on Shabbos because of Zachar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsha. What does this have to do with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, I'm not going to read it inside, but you have it here. I'll read a few things inside, but we don't have so much time, so I'm going to save a little bit of time. Some of it will be for homework, I guess. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, which we also have here somewhere, right? Yeah, I'm sorry. Number 4. Also repeats this connection to Shabbos. If I can find it, I will. 1 second. Towards the bottom, about 4 lines before the Mina. 1 second. Klomar shehutzi vala zachro kamosha amro zachar sayom haShabbos lekadsho ukvar yadata lashon amaram afilu kolonu chachamim kolonu nivonim kolonu yodim b'satorah mitzvah leinu l'saper mitzias mitzrayim. Why does the Rambam mention in both places the connection to Zechiras Shabbos? Many answers have been given to this question. The Rav suggested that if you look at Sefer HaMitzvos Kuf Nun Hei, where the Rambam speaks about the mitzvah of Kiddush, Zachar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, the Rambam adds, that we don't have in the sheets, I should have put it there, but the Rambam adds that the concept of Zechiras Shabbos is to mention not only the sanctity of Shabbos, but what is unique about Shabbos. What makes Shabbos different than all other days? And the Rav thought that this is a characteristic, a hallmark characteristic factor that distinguishes Sipur from Zechira as well. In Zechira Yetzias Mitzrayim, in addition to the other 3 distinctions that I made before, the name of Reb Chaim, it's fine merely to mention the Exodus and what took place in the Exodus. On the night of Mitzrayim, it's important to underscore that what took place on this night was unique. It was singular. And you have to point out what about it was unique. In another Dvar Torah that the Rav shared at a different time, he said something which directly connects with it. If you look at the Rambam's explanation of Manishtana, I'm not sure if I have that one here or not. No, I don't. Okay. The Rambam explains, typically we understand that the child asks Manishtana. right? And in most households, that's exactly what happens. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says, you know, the child asks Manashtana, you go from the youngest to the oldest, you know, and so on. If you look at the Rambam, the way that he formulates the din, he says, we reach a point in the Haggadah, and then children should ask whatever they want to ask, whatever disturbs them, or whatever, more important, piques their curiosity. We do all sorts of things during the evening. We take the Seder plate away. We do things out of order to pique the curiosity of children. V'igadata levincha. Children should ask. And then the Rambam says that after the children ask, the kore Haggadah omer manishtana. Meaning, the person who's leading the Haggadah, he's the one who says manishtana. I don't know if he says it in Yiddish or French or, you know, all the different things. But I guess you take out the Tata Laban or whatever that thing is in the beginning. But basically, the Kore Haggadah is the one who reads. And, the Rav thought, the Manishtana isn't really questions. This is something that the Aruch HaShulchan suggested as well in his Perish Lel Shimurim. The Aruch HaShulchan says, Manishtana is not a question, it's an exclamation point. It's a declaration. Manishtana halayla zemikalas. Can you believe how unique, how different, how singular this night really is, as expressed by, and so on? Rather than quote the Lesh Murim, but on his own, he suggested this idea. That really the Haggadah emphasizes that the Kore Haggadah says Manishtana, and that Manishtana are not questions, they are emphatic statements with exclamation points, declarations. Maybe my added drama, but that's basically why. I think we could connect one point with the other. If indeed part of the concept of Zechira, and what we basically, one of the things that we learn, I think there are others, from Kiddush of Shabbos, is that you have to emphasize what is unique about the day, then the phrase, Manishtana halayla zeh mikol halilot, is no longer the children's piqued curiosity. That is the other things that they notice. It's the Omer Haggadah saying that Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim is about what is singular on this day. And indeed it is. There's another aspect of Sipur which differs from Zechira. Rav once pointed out that part of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim includes Limud HaTorah, Talmud Torah. We say, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanasan Torah Lamo Yisrael Baruch Hu. Why do we say those words? This is something the Rav, when he used to speak about the Seder, every year practically would repeat. He was very enamored with this idea. Really, when you think about it, and you translate it, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu is Birchas HaTorah. And any meaningful Jewish experience, right, has to express itself in some form of Limud HaTorah. This is something that the Rav was particularly, obviously, attuned to, believing Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, that the way that we express ourselves as Ovdei Hashem, the most important way is through Limud HaTorah. So we say, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. For that reason, the Chacham is told the halachos of the Korban Pesach. Afa ta'emar lo ki hilchos ha-Pesach, ein maftirin achar ha-Pesach, afikoman. The whole dinim, even of the esoteric Korban Pesach. Moreover, the halacha is that we read in the Haggadah, in Magid, the Parsha of Bikurim, Arami Oved Avi. And the Rambam explains, this is Perek Zayin Halacha Dalid, which we do have here. V'tzarech lahatchil bignus l'sayim b'shevach. This is Halacha Dalid on page 2. But look at the bottom. V'hu sheyidrosh me'arami oved avi ad sheyigmar kol ha'parsha. V'cholamosif u'marich bedrash parsha zu harei ze mishubach. So the Rambam says that you have to darshan. You have to do Biderech Drush, which is why we have the Mechilta. We have the Parsha of Arami Ovid Avi, which you usually recite when you bring Bikurim in Eretz Yisrael, but you recount the history of the Jewish people, and you recount it Biderech Drusha. You darshan each word. The Rav thought, because we say Berchas HaTorah, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not merely telling a story and not merely with background and with reasons and so on and so forth, not just what's unique, but also b'derech limud haTorah. And that requires a drasha, because the drasha is the interface between Torah shebitzav and Torah shebal peh. It takes half of the Torah, I don't mean numerically, meaning what was given to us by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and what was entrusted to us as Chachmei HaMesorah to hand down every generation, the method of interpreting it and applying it. And that is something which is part and parcel of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim of the night of the Seder. That's why we emphasize so much, afilu kulonu chachamim, kulonu nivonim, kulonu yodim es haTorah, the Maisa b'Bnei Brak, when they, all the great scholars got together, what do they really have to tell each other? The answer is, Tosefta says, they were studying Hilchos HaPasach, and they were darshaning V'Anisa V'Amarta. They were engaged in Talmud Torah as part of the methodology of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Indeed, I think that one can prove this. The Rambam adds the words V'chalam Mosif Umarech Bidrash Parshazu Hareza Meshubach, which don't appear in the Talmud or anywhere else. The words kolamarit, kolamar belasaper b'tzias mitzrayim, areza meshubach, appear in the Rambam in Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, which we read before. They appear in the Mishnah in connection with the obligation to tell the story. Sipur yitzias mitzrayim. Telling it in all of its detail. The more, the better. But the Rambam repeats that phrase three halachos later in connection with Arami Oved Avi, this Talmud Torah Parsha. He repeats again, Kalamarich Bidvarim She'iru V'Shehayu Hareza Meshubach, as if to say, this is the same idea. The night of the Seder is a multimedia presentation. It includes remembering, telling details, darshaning, but it includes much more, let me suggest to expand. It also includes the mitzvos halayla. By the Seder, by the order and organization of what we do and when we do it, those props, the acts of the mitzvah, constitute also a way of telling the story. If Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is so critical to our theology, and especially to our nationhood, and to our individual avodas Hashem, how could it not express itself in Limud HaTorah, as we had just discussed, but also in the performance of Maisa Mitzvos? If you look at the Rambam, this I'm not blaming on the Rav, this is my suggestion, Perek Zayin and Perek Ches, Perek Zayin, the seventh chapter, there are eight chapters in Hilchos Chametz Matzah. Perek Zayin 7 is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, eighth chapter is the Seder, the organization of the Mitzvah Halayla. But there's a lot of overlap and some subtle differences between chapter 7 and chapter 8. As if the Rambam was telling us, this is a multimedia presentation. We tell the story, we give the background, we give some explanation, right? We have Haseba, it's another, we act it out, you know, we lean, right? We drink Derecheros. All of this is methods of teaching. The Rambam famously says, instead of the language of the Mishnah, Chayev Adam Liros Atzmo Ki'ilu Yatza Mitzrayim, a person is supposed to perceive himself as he left Mitzrayim. Instead of the Rambam reformulated in Perek Zayin, Chayev Adam Laharos Atzmo, his immersion in the story has to be such that it spills over in other people watching him. It's almost demonstrative that he feels like he was there. And then he adds, Ki'ilu hu ata yata mi Mitzrayim, as if he now left Mitzrayim. So it has to be acted out. It has to be all different media. Part of the media is the mitzvahs themselves. And the centerpiece of that mitzvah, of those mitzvahs, are the Gimel Dvarim of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says, Kol shel ha'omer Gimel Dvarim elu b'Pesach le'yotzei de'chav. This is halacha hey in the Rambam. Kol mi shel ha'omer Gimel Dvarim elu b'leil chamisha asa le'yotzei de'chav aso ve'elu hein. These are them. Pesach, Matzah, Umarar. The famous triad. Pesach, Matzah, Umarar. This is based on the Mishnah. But then what's fascinating is, the Rambam concludes and says, the last words of this halacha, Udvarim elu kulam hein nikraim agada. These are all part of Haggadah. Eating the Pesach matzah and mar, that's part of the Haggadah? That's part of the Sipur? That the Torah says, Be'erev tochlu matzos. The Torah says, Va'achlu es habasar balayla hazeh. You have to eat Korban Pesach. Al matzos umrorim yochluhu. Together, Pesach, matzah, and mar. What does the Rambam mean when he says, Horeza Haggadah? So let me speak about this for a few minutes. So the Rav suggested, regarding this Rambam, that really there is a fundamental debate between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Ramban, in his commentary, Mechamos Hashem, in Masechet Brachos, explains that the words of the Mishnah, that kol shelo omar gimel dvar meil lo yotze nechavasa, you don't fulfill your obligation, is a phrase that we find throughout rabbinic literature. And sometimes it doesn't mean that you haven't fulfilled at all. It means you haven't fulfilled properly. The Ramban's example is Rabbi Gamliel. Because it says, when you eat Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, but you don't mention, you don't make a speech about them, right? You certainly fulfill the mitzvah of Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. The only thing is, you haven't filled it optimally, just like if you do a mitzvah without a bracha. The mitzvah has been accomplished. You haven't done it optimally. The Rav noted that according to the Ramban, it's clear that what Rabbi Gamliel meant when he said kol shelo amar, whoever doesn't say the recitation attached to the mitzvah, lo yatza, is referring to the mitzvah of Pesach, the mitzvah of matzah, and the mitzvah of mar. And in my opinion, this is borne out by another Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos, where he also seems to say this very clearly. However, the Rav noted, the Rambam put this halacha in Perek Zion, in the chapter that deals with the story of the Exodus. And he concluded by saying, as the words I mentioned before, Dvarim elu kulan heina nikraim haggadah. So he understood that what the Rambam understood from Gamliel was that if you don't tell the details, Pesach zu, matzah zu, Pesach zeh, sorry, matzah zu, moror zeh, if you don't recite the recitation, it's not that you have undermined the mitzvah. But what you've done is, you haven't fully told the story, the sipur. In other words, these three mitzvahs serve the function of sipur yetzias mitzrayim. They are props in the story. I would just add that what's really fascinating to me is that the Rambam mentions the din of Rabban Gamliel, not the kol ha'omru, but the gimel dvarim, both in the 7th chapter and in the 8th chapter. As if to say, on the one hand, it's part of the story, and on the other hand, it's a different way of telling the story, the multimedia presentation, through the order of the mitzvahs themselves. But what I'd like to do in the time we have left is to zero in on Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, to explain a little better what we mean by some of the other issues, try to pull together the ideas that we've been discussing. Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, Sipur, the different ways of Sipur, why there are different ways of Sipur, and how there are different ways of Sipur. The Marsha asks this question, where do we find, really, that you have to make a speech along with doing a mitzvah? A bracha, yes, but not a speech, not a recitation. Mikra Bikurim, the only other example. The Ramban actually compares it to Mikra Bikurim in Sefer HaMitzvos, when he talks about Birchas HaTorah, but that aside, what is this? The Marsha himself suggests that the reason that you have to recite along with doing the mitzvah is because it's a very holy mitzvah, requires lishma, purity of motive, you have to explain why you're doing it, and so on. I'd like to suggest something a little bit different based on what we've already said, and that is the recitation, number one, as the Rambam said, Kula Nikra in Haggadah. It's not just the action that tells the story, but the action as you explain it. But I think even further, the recitation explains why each of these features, Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, is treated in a special fashion, the Zechira, which is unique, as the Rav explained it, in Zechira of Shabbos. Korban Pesach is unique. That would take us many hours. Don't worry, we're not going to do it. Pesach is unique. The whole Korban of Pesach is unique. Almost don't even talk about it. It's a Korban that doesn't even appear in Vayikra. Yesterday we started reading the world of Korbanos, Parshas Vayikra. There's no Korban Pesach in the regular Korbanos. The Rambam put it in a different book. It's not in Sefer Avoda. It's in Sefer Korbanos. It's a rule-breaking Korban from beginning to end. Kol Orel v'kol Nechar l'yochal bo. It's a Korban of Emunah, of belief. After all, they slaughtered the Egyptian god. Imagine the courage and the conviction, especially the reliance on the Rabbonu Shalom that took. The whole Pesach is a mitzvah which tells a story and which demonstrates in an experiential way how Klal Yisrael committed themselves to the Rabbonu Shalom. You have to say it, you have to explain it. Pesach Zu, Pesach Zeh, sorry, Shanu Ochlim Hashem, She Pesach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Abate Avoseinu B'Mitzrayim. Not to do so is to basically strip this event or this experience from its uniqueness. Matzah, the Gemara says it's lechem she'onim olav dvarim harbe. The whole matzah is connected to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is a point that many achronim have made, the Rambam among them. Rashi in Daf Lamed Vav and Matzachet Psachim explains that matzah onim olav dvarim harbe refers to Hallel, Hallel v'Hodah. The Rav thought that one of the features of Sipur beyond Zechira, in addition to the ones that I added and that he added that I mentioned before, was the component of Hallel. The Sipur has to be not only about what's unusual that evening and the details and the background and the reasons, it also has to contain praise for the Rabbanu Shalom. If you look in Sefer HaMitzvos and the Rambam, and even more so in Sefer HaChinuch, the component of Hoda'ah, Hallel and Hoda'ah, Thanksgiving, is part of it. That's why we have Hallel in the middle of the Seder. Very unusual. Hallel at night, Hallel sitting, Hallel broken up. Hallel is part of the story. Hallel maybe has to be before Chatzos, at least the first part. Hallel is critical. I think, perhaps, that this might explain a very strange Rambam. The Gemara said, the Mishnah says in Masachet Psachim, that matzah cannot be brought from Tevel. If you look here on page 1, first entry, Eilu dvarim she'edolim yotzev v'hem yidei chavad, she'adim yotzev v'hem chadaso v'pesach, chitim sorim kusmin shipun shibala shul, yotzev v'dmai ma'isa reishon sh'nidl trumaso, ma'isa sheni hektish sh'niftu, koinu b'chala b'truma, aval lo b'tevel, no tevel. Tevel means produce of Eretz Yisrael before you give hafrashas trumas and ma'isas, before you take off the amount that goes to the kohen, that's called tevel. You cannot have matzah from tevel. Without going to detail, because we're running a little late, you look it up. The Gemara tries very hard to explain why you can't use matzah shel tevel. The Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Perek Vav Halacha Zayin number 3. So it does a remarkable thing. The Rambam paskins like the Mishnah, which is that you cannot use matzah shel tevel. That's fine. But he really shouldn't have paskined like this Mishnah based on the explanations, you'll have to take my word for it for a moment, that the Gemara gives. The Gemara explains why matzah shel tevel cannot be used. According to the way that the Rambam rules in other areas of halakha, this should not have been a proper conclusion. Indeed, the Ramban in Psachim says, if you were to use matzah shel tevel, you would fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Everybody wonders, how come the Rambam thinks that you can't? You shouldn't, either way. So the Rambam says an amazing thing. Ein adam yotze yidei chavasa b'achilas matzva shiyasur alau, kagon she'achal tevel, o ma'isa rishon shelo nitra trumasa, o gzela. The remarkable thing is his explanation. Zeh haklal. Kol she'mevarchin olav birchas hamazon, yotze yidei chavasa. Kol she'ein mevarchin birchas hamazon, ein yotze yidei chavasa. If you can't bench on it, you can't use it for matzah. There is, as far as I know, there's certainly no Talmud Bavli, as far as I know, no Talmud Yerushalmi, no Midrash, no source that the Rambam gets this from. The Rambam himself, based on his global understanding, said anything you cannot make a birchas hamazon on, you can't bring matzah from. What does matzah have to do with birchas hamazon? Right? So it occurred to me, in light of the Rav's insight, that part of what's unique about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is the Hallel and Hodah component. Indeed, I would add, this is part of the connection to Mikra Bikurim, to the Parsha Bikurim that we say, which is also Halal Nehoda, Rama makes clear in his Sefer Mitzvos about Bikurim. If Halal and Hoda'ah are part of the story, it's not enough to tell what happened, a good story. Right? Not even that it's all singular. It's singular and it is praiseworthy. It's a source of our Hakaras HaTov. Then, and if indeed matzah is lechem oni, lechem she'onin olav dvarim harbin, we say halal on the matzah. So you can understand what there's only one bracha that is clearly daraisa. That's birchas hamazon. Right? Ve'achalta v'savata uve'rachta. It's the most elemental hakaras HaTov. Thank you. Praise and acknowledgement. So the Rambam says, matzah, which is one of Rabbi Gamliel's through triad, it's not just a regular mitzvah, you sit in a sukkah, you blow shofar. Matzah, it's an expression of shevach and hodah. And therefore, anything you can't make a birchas hamazon on, you also can't matzah. Let's go to the last one, maror. Maror is a very interesting issue. The last piece on page, what page is it? Five? For a second. The Rosh says in Masechet Psachim, Ochel l'chatzoin yotza, bilvad shelo yashibo ben achila l'chaverta, yosem echte achilas pras. Everybody have this number 21. Mishum de mevarech al achilas marar, tzor she yochal kezayas. De ein achila pachos mi kezayas. The Rosh does an amazing thing, which caught the eyes of some later authorities. He says, he's really wondering, do you have to eat a kezayis of maror? When I was growing up, we always used to eat the hard stuff, you know, the real, you know, it's not the real maror. Romaine lettuce is probably, but to me, it took me many years to get used to the whole romaine lettuce thing, but the experience of maror certainly is with the, what do they call it, the chrein or whatever it is. The Rosh wanted to know, do you have to eat a kezayis of maror? Kezayis of romaine lettuce is no big deal, but a kezayis of that hard grain is challenging. So the Rosh says an amazing, amazing idea. He says, well, the bracha that we make on maror, asher kedishanu b'tzosef tzivanu, al achilas maror. So we use the language achila, right? Achila, eating, in halachic terms, is a kezayis. So you have to eat a kezayis of maror. All of the Achronim were bothered. The Shagas Aryeh in Siman Kuf says, I don't understand this at all. The only reason you have to eat a kezayis of maror is because the bracha uses the language of achila? Why don't you say it's like korban pasach, it's like matzah? There certainly you have to eat a kezayis. Moreover, because of the bracha, you have to eat a kezayis, so change the nusach of the bracha if you really don't have to. There are creative ways to formulate the bracha that it doesn't use the word akila. Right? What does that even mean? So the Rosh was very struck by this. He was asking the question in Korech, in Hillel's sandwich, do you have to eat a kezayis of matzah and a kezayis of maror together with the Korban Pesach, or Bismaneinu in our time, a kezayis of matzah and maror? Or is it enough that altogether it's a kezayis? It's a sandwich. Right? Big the difference whether you have to call out tzala when you try to eat it all at one time or not. Not so easy. So the Shagas Aryeh's conclusions, you have to eat a kezayis of each one. He says this Rosh is just very difficult to take. Of course you have to eat a kezayis. He says if the Rosh were right, the only reason you eat a kezayis is because of the language of the bracha, you don't make the bracha on the korech. So maybe you could eat less. However, the Rav's grandfather, Chaim, in the what we call the stencils that were written up by some of his students, also addressed this question and the Rosh. He said, no. There are really two ideas here. Matzah is a biblical obligation, no matter what, even when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Because the Torah says, Ba'erev tocha matzah. So you have to eat matzah, on the night of Pesach. And Ba'erev tocha, language of Achila, it's a mitzvah, doraisa, and you have to eat a kezayis. Maror, however, if you look very carefully at the Rambam says that Maror b'zman hazeh is only drabanan, based on the Gemara, because Maror was never an independent mitzvah. Maror is only a mitzvah together with Korban Pesach. And separate from Korban Pesach, it is only midrabanan. Look here on page 4. You'll see Perek 18, the end of 18, Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Gimel. Mirorim ho'amurim ba'd, I'm sorry, I'd say it again. Halacha Yud Beis, sorry. Achilas mar ena mitzvah min ha-Torah b'fnei atzmo. It's not an independent mitzvah. Eletluya b'achilas ha-Pesach. It depends on the eating of the Korban Pesach. Shemitzah say achas lecho basar Pesach al matzah umrorim. To eat Pesach together with maror and matzah. Midivrei sofrim midrabanon lecho maror levado b'leil zeh. Afilo ein sham Korban Pesach. Even without Korban Pesach. And the same thing in Sefer Mitzvahs number 19, Achilas Basar Pesach Bilel Chamisha Asar, Mitzvah Sasation, Emre Okos Abasar Balai Lazet, Liei Shumatzos, Al Merorim Yochluhu. It's a mitzvah together. The Ein Matzu Marim Ba'akvim, Im La Matzu Marim Matzu Marim Yotzim B'nei Chavosim Achilas Basar Levado, Al Merorim Below Pesach, Ein a mitzvah Shenemar Amatzos Merorim Yochluhu. Maror is only an adjunct to Korban Pesach Min HaTorah. Said Rab Chaim, there are two psukim about matzah. One is Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos. That's an independent mitzvah of matzah. That's why even in our time, matzah d'orayis, you have to eat a kazayis. But maror only appears in the pasuk al matzos umrorim yochluhu. The yochlu goes all together. So you don't have to eat a kazayis of maror. Therefore, the Rush says that it's only because of the bracha that you have to eat a kazayis. But really, maror doesn't require a kazayis. The Rav Zatzal had a different explanation for this rush, which I want to share. And again, I think it's very typical of his creative thinking and his almost wider application, let's say, of broader categories. To explain it, I'm going to take one step back very quickly. I'll try to do it very quickly. Look here at number 15. Number 15 is a Mishnah in Pesachim. Hevi'u lefanav netabel v'chazeres et shemagi'a leparperes apas. Hevi'u lefanav matzah v'chazeres v'charoses u'shnei tavshilim. Af al pi she'ein charoses mitzvah. What I'm interested in is this charoses for a minute. Charoses, says the first view of the Mishnah, is not a mitzvah. You use it as a, you know, a dip, but it's not a mitzvah its own right. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Tzadok, omer mitzvah. Rav Lazar Rav Tzadok disagrees. Charosis is an independent mitzvah. So, and the Gemara goes back and forth on this issue. We'll leave the Gemara for now because it's a little late. Look at number 17. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayah says, HaCharosis Tarova Sheyesh Chamitzus Ukein Teven Zecha Letit V'cheinanu Osinosa. The Rambam gives you the recipe for his Charosis. I'm told it's pretty good. If anybody wants to try it out, it's a little different than the typical ones they tell me. Look at the last line. Rab Tzadok she'omer charosis mitzvah chayev ladato levarech asher kitshana b'tzosim v'tzivanu al achilas charosis. The ein halacha. The Rambam says regarding the argument in the Mishnah whether charosis is a mitzvah, you should know there's a difference. If it's a mitzvah, you should make a bracha. Al achilas charosis. How many people here make al achilas charosis? Nobody. Okay, good. That's good. Okay, that's good. But what's fascinating is that the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka changed his mind, which is why it's good that no one does it. Look at the Rambam Halacha Yad Aleph 18. The Rambam says HaCharoses Mitzvah Midivrei Sofrim Zecha Letit Shoyu Ovdim Bo B'Mitzrayim. What does the Rambam say about Charoses? It's a mitzvah. Midivrei Sofrim Midrabanan, but a mitzvah. And then Ketzad Osin, he gives you the recipe. And then he adds, "Umevin osa al hashulchan b'leilei haPesach." You bring it to the table on Pesach night. Okay. Then the next halacha says, "Achilas maror ain't a mitzvah min haTorah b'fnei atzmo, ela tuliya b'achilas Pesach." What we said before, that maror is not an independent mitzvah; it's only a mitzvah drabanan. What happened to the bracha? If the Rambam says charosis is a mitzvah, where's the bracha? So the Lecha Mishnah asks this question. It says, clearly the Rambam changed his mind. He wrote Pirush Mishnayos when he was younger, and later on he had a change of mind. But that doesn't explain what happened to the bracha, right? So Rav Soloveitchik explained the following way. He said there are two types of mitzvos And particularly in the context of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, there can be a different category of mitzvah. And that is as follows. Typically, a mitzvah is a maisa mitzvah. It's an objective performance. You sit in a sukkah, you blow the shofar, you eat matzah, right? These are all measurable actions. However, on the night of the Seder, there can be a kiyum mitzvah, as he called it, without a maisa mitzvah. You can have the fulfillment of a mitzvah without doing an action. What's an example of that? Karosis. How come the Rambam adds the word, this is again very typical of his analysis, every word of the Rambam being rigorously put under a microscope? You bring it to the table. What do you mean you bring it to the table? You also dip in it. So Rav explained basically, my words, but this is the idea. Charosis is a prop. It's an important prop. It's part of the story. It's what I said before. It's a multimedia presentation, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You can have even mitzvos that are really mostly methods of telling the story. Bringing the charosis to the table and dipping it, it's not. There's no mitzvah of achilas charosis. It doesn't say anywhere you have to eat a kazayis of charosis. And therefore, there's no bracha, because this is the broader idea. You get a bracha for a maisa mitzvah. The Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, one of the Ligonim, thought all Sfiras HaOmer was one mitzvah. But it had different maisim, different actions. Every night you count separately. We make a bracha every night. Even according to him, it's all one long kiyum mitzvah. The bracha is connected to the maisa mitzvah, to the act of the mitzvah, not to simply fulfilling a mitzvah, passively. So the Rav explained. That's what changed in the Rambam. The Rambam originally thought if charosis is a mitzvah, then you should make a bracha, because it's a mitzvah sachila, like maror, like matzah. But later, when he codified the Mishnah Torah, he realized that's not what's singular about charosis. It's a prop in the story. It's a mitzvah, a kiyum mitzvah, it's part of the story. What does this have to do with maror? So he took it a very interesting step further. He said as follows. Maror is not an independent mitzvah for Korban Pesach, separate from Korban Pesach, unlike matzah, right? It's an accompaniment, it's an adjunct, it fills in part of the story. You have Pesach, and then you have matzah and maror, the yin and the yang, you know, the cheirus and the merirus. Or maybe it's more than that, and they combine, and so on. So maybe, since maror is not a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, what the Rush was thinking was, maybe it's like karosas. Maybe maror's, you have to eat it, because you need some tam merirus. But it isn't, the mitzvah isn't to eat it. The mitzvah is what it brings, the kiyum that it brings of merirus to the story. So what the Rush said was, I'm not really sure whether you need a kazayis for maror or not. I don't know whether it's like charosas or midrabanan, it's like matzah. And then he looked around as he was thinking about it and he said, ah, but you make a bracha on it. Again, Shagasari asked, so change the bracha. You're making, because of the bracha, you have to eat a kazayas. That seems backwards. The bracha should fit the mitzvah. The mitzvah doesn't get defined by the bracha. This is the ingenious suggestion. What the Rav suggested was, the Rush was saying, not the nusach of the bracha. The fact that there is a bracha tells you what kind of mitzvah is it, what kind of category does it belong to. It belongs to the category of maisa mitzvah. Ah, it needs a bracha, it belongs to maisa mitzvah, then of course you have to eat a kazayas. So let me just, myself, take this one step further. Rav didn't say this. There are numerous gemaras that speak about the requirement in maror, we'll leave them for homework, of tam maror. Gemara says in brachos, we have it here, the Gemara says if you pickle or you cook an item, it can change. Does it change its bracha or not? Because it transforms the object. Let's say you have a vegetable, and you cook it or you pickle it, whatever you do to a vegetable, to transform it a little bit, does it lose its identity as a vegetable or a fruit? That's a discussion in the Gemara. What is cooking and pickling? What do processes do to an object? So the Gemara wants to get a proof from maror. The Gemara says, if you pickle the maror, right, then you can't use it for maror anymore. Says the Gemara in Brachos, maybe maror is different. Be'inan tamarar v'leka. In maror, it's not enough to have the object. You have to have the taste of maror, the experience of maror. Even more so, the Gemara has the same idea of matzah. We'll leave it for now. It seems like in maror, this is a bigger idea than matzah. Even if you don't need tam matzah, you need tam maror. Gemara in the end of Pesachim says, don't put too much other things on the maror, because it'll deaden the taste. Be'inan tamarar v'leka. You need to taste the maror. A third Gemara. The Gemara says, if you balam matzah, if you swallow the matzah in one fell swoop, yatz. Balam maror, if you just gulp the maror down, lo yatz. Why? Be'inan tamarar v'leka. So I thought, especially based on the Rav's analysis, this idea that maror, like charoset, might be a prop. It's not a mitzvah sakhila so much, or even if it is, it's more the story, it's the kiyum, the story, the sipur that it tells. So if that's the case, once one of the achronim, the Tirosh V'Yitzhar, actually suggests this, maybe you could explain the Rush even further. The Rush said, maybe maror doesn't need a kazayis, because it's the experience of mariros, not the actual eating, that's important. You can have eating without mariros, it doesn't work. Maybe you could have mariros, the bitterness without the actual eating, and that also works, without a kazayis. It's only because, again, that same idea, that we make a bracha that establishes that it's a different kind of mitzvah. So when we take a step back, what we really have is that Rabbi Gamliel says, Kol shelo omer gimel dvarim ha'elu bepesach. These three central mitzvahs, Pesach, Matzah, Mar, each one is a rule breaker. Each one is not just a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah that tells the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. I would add, not just of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, but of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. In all of the Shevach and Hodah, all of what is unique about it, the experiential part of Yotza Atam Mitzrayim, as opposed to a distant memory, all of the aspects that make Sipur unique are captured by the special way that we centralize and what we do to accompany it, Pesach, Matzah, Umara. A true manifestation of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So let me just conclude as I began. The idea that, let me just go back to the Rambam for one second. The Rambam, when he talks about the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, before he quotes Kiddush, says, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is based on the pasuk of Zachar Sayom Asher Yetzasa Mitzrayim. So many of the Achronim are bothered by this, the Rav included. He has a different answer for this. The pasuk of Zachar Sayom Asher Yetzasa Mitzrayim doesn't seem to be the source for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It seems to be the source, at least according to Rashi and the Mechilta, for Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Strange. Moreover, what's his connection to Kiddush, if you want to say something additional or further? So I always thought that one of the things that the Rambam is conveying here is that there, despite the difference between Sipur and Zechira, which we've talked about this evening, you can't have Sipur without Zechira. If all year round there was no Zechira, then one day a year the Sipur would be meaningless. By the same token, if you didn't go into great detail with the experience and the halal and the uniqueness and the multimedia presentation of the Sipur one day a year, that Zechira every single day would become rote and would lose its significance. What the Rambam's telling us is you need to have both. You need a Zechira and you need a Sipur. There are certain events in the lives of Klal Yisrael, in the lives of individuals, and there are certain personalities that we're exposed to personally, in a family context, communally, Klal Yisraeli, who are just transformative, and their impact is enduring. And it's important when we have these events and when we have these kind of personalities that we take steps to cherish not memories of the distant past, but the living memories, the Dmus Dyukno, the Sifsosa of Dovas Bekever, that are entailed in such classic and great and pivotal moments. And we do that by Zechira and by Sipur. We do it by every single day being connected with and maintaining that enduring quality. And we do it by, every so often, when it's appropriate, going into great detail, quantitatively and qualitatively, experientially, with a sense of shabach and hodah, and in a multimedia way, to appreciate and to internalize those messages. And of course, this is the legacy of the upcoming Chag. I wish you all a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. And it's also the legacy for those who are Talmidim, certainly. This is not the time to do an assessment of the contributions and, you know, the impact on so many different levels, in terms of communal leadership, in terms of the concept of Mesorah, in terms of Derech HaLimud. But for those of us Talmidim and the Talmidei Talmidim, the entire community and the entire Klal Yisrael, for those great and pivotal Chachmei HaMesorah who really shape who we are. So this is in advance for Chol HaMoed, just a few words and very few words that of appreciation for Moreinu V'Rabbeinu, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Rosenzweig. Again, thank you to the best family and to Rabbi Rosenzweig for waking up extremely early this morning to get here. One more announcement. Everyone, please make sure to check the Kollel schedule of upcoming Pesach events and Shirim as we continue to prepare for the Yom Tov. Have a great day.
Our silver spring.